There was the old way to shoot a sitcom, and then there's the modern way. The old way was with multiple cameras shooting from fixed angles, usually before a live studio audience, an audience whose reaction was heavily augmented by a laugh track to signal to viewers at home where the hilarity was located. Other shows, notably Hogan's Heroes, were with no audience and 100% canned laughter. The modern technique is the one-camera shoot, a la Modern Family, with no live audience and no laugh track. Viewers, like a movie audience, have to locate and react to the jokes all by themselves. The unadorned one-camera technique is becoming so common, in fact, that it would be tempting to prepare an obituary for the laugh track. But Joe Adalian, who writes about Hollywood for New York Magazine, says, not so fast. Joe, welcome to On the Media.
Thank you, sir.
Who does a sitcom these days without electronic enhancement?
Most really big sitcoms these days come without laugh tracks, unless they're on CBS. CBS has remained the stalwart for traditional shows, but even those shows, by the way, are not, according to the creators, electronically augmented. Most of the comedies on CBS have a studio audience in them, Two and a Half Men, Two Broke Girls, The Big Bang Theory. Their creators all insist, we don't do anything, we don't sweeten it, etc. The only show on CBS that actually cops to using a laugh track, believe it or not, is How I Met Your Mother. Even though it's shot in a single-camera style, laughs are added in after the fact, which is pretty amazing because if you listen to How I Met Your Mother, it's actually a very subtle laugh track.
And what made you decide you wanted to become an architect?
Well, you know, soul of an artist, hands of a master craftsman. It was inevitable, I guess.
The laughs on How I Met Your Mother are probably a lot more mellow than the ones you might get on Two and a Half Men.
$80 million.
Yeah, give or take, mostly Tuck.
And you consider losing that kind of money and oops?
Yeah.
No. Oops is when you clip your toenails too close and they bleed. Oops is when you mistake toothpaste for lubricant. Oops is when you thought a fart in the elevator was going to be silent.
In your piece, you talk about how the laugh audio can be manipulated without actually being faked altogether. Sort of accentuate reality without, strictly speaking, changing it.
We wondered when you have creators saying we don't manipulate the laughs, and yet to our ears at least they sound fake, what could be going on? And some sound engineers say that, well, yes, you can just use the audio track that's supplied by the audience, but depending upon how it's laid in, depending upon where you position the microphone, what levels capture, for example, the actors on stage versus the audience in the studio, all of that can make the sound of laughter seem louder than it naturally is. Whether or not these shows do it or not, you know, only their hairdressers know for sure. And there is this sense of quiet shame about this. Nobody really wants to talk about it because, of course, it implies that the show's not funny.
But there are certainly shows that are indisputably fully natural, right?
You can talk to the people who work in sound in Hollywood and they will tell you about different audiences for shows. And going back to, say, for example, Married with Children in the 80s, that show used to get loyal audiences coming in every week for the tapings. Oftentimes a bunch of Marines would come by with their entire platoons. Those people genuinely laughed at everything Al Bundy said, did.
Look here, Miranda. If you really want some film at 11, why don't you follow me down to the brewery? I'll tie a bowling ball to my ankle and dive in the vat of beer. I'll leave this world the same way I entered my marriage, dead drunk.
There was no reason to electronically supplement them or make them bigger because they were huge. And I bet the same is true with Two and a Half Men.
So where did these laugh tracks come from? There's always been studio audiences to have available. Have they not always been a part of sitcom production?
Yes and no. Early TV shows were, of course, filmed in front of studio audiences with actual people actually laughing. But the people who did the shows started realizing that because they sometimes would have two and three and four takes of a scene, the laughs for number two and three and four weren't perhaps as robust. And sometimes, because this was older technology, not the digital wonders that we have today, maybe the microphone wouldn't pick up a laugh the way that the producer wanted, or there could be something that went wrong in the editing. The man named Charlie Douglas saw an opportunity there, and he basically created a machine able to record on loop tape different sounds of laughter from live studio audiences.
Are you tired of rundown and listless? Do you pop out at parties? Are you unpopular?
one of the earliest laughs he recorded was Lucille Ball's mother actually laughing and making an out loud comment at one of her daughter's shows. Soon, producers all over Hollywood realized there was this guy who could make your laugh sound much, much better. And so, as with anything in Hollywood, what started out as a natural idea with a very pure motive of making sure everything was even and level and consistent started getting abused a little bit. And suddenly people thought, well, maybe the show's not that funny, but, you know, Mr. Laugh Man will like it.
In the meantime, studio audiences and laugh box supplements kind of coexisted until at some point, at maybe the nadir of sitcom culture and maybe the nadir of human culture, Gilligan's Island came along and other shows that were entirely the creation of laugh boxing, huh?
What basically happened was studios also started experimenting with single camera shows. They ditched the studio audience altogether. They tried to make shows look a little bit different, involve more outdoor scenes and different production techniques. And suddenly you didn't have a studio audience showing up to watch The Brady Bunch or Gilligan's Island.
I want you to go outside, and I don't want you to come back in until you've counted 10.
But it's dark out there. Can I count to 10 by fives?
No, Gilligan.
Fours?
No, by ones. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
I can count faster than that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Gilligan outside.
It was simply at the whim of, say, a Sherwood Schwartz, simply add the laughs as often as he wanted to, and that's why, in fact, they sounded so incredibly artificial. What also happened was Mr. Douglas didn't, at least in the early days, do a good job updating his laughs. In the late 1960s, watching Gilligan's Island, you might be hearing an audience from the 50s laughing at the day's jokes. Some people who had good ears could actually pick up, wait a second, I know that lady's laugh. And the joke became, as laugh technicians will tell you today, that there were probably a few dead people laughing at jokes in some of the shows in the 60s and 70s.
Now, we're talking about Gilligan's Island, which was on a set that went beyond the routine sitcom interior. Another show that did that was MASH, which it surprised me to learn also was laugh-tracked, against the creator's wishes, as it turns out.
Especially in the 70s, a lot of network types simply thought that if you didn't have the sound of people laughing, nobody would laugh. And even though Larry Gelbart thought, well, what about movies? Network people didn't care, and they insisted on it. And it is a shame because sometimes you watch those episodes of MASH and think, why do I have to hear these annoying laughs?
I'll carry your books, I'll carry a torch, I'll carry a tune. I'll carry on, carry over, carry forward, carry grand, cash and carry me back to old Virginia. I'll even Harry carry if you show me how, but I will not carry a gun.
That was totally uncalled for.
Notwithstanding what I'm sure were titanic battles between Larry Gelbart and CBS over the question of whether to laugh track MASH and other arguments in control rooms about whether to ride the laugh track higher or lower and so forth, the assumption always was that it worked. But what if they actually don't matter? That it's not just me, but the fact that these modern shows don't use them is evidence that we never really paid much attention to the fake laughter to begin with.
What it can do is it changes the feel of a show. A show like Two Broke Girls, for example, which is very big and broad and theatrical, it plays off having a studio audience there. The actors are actually living off of the reaction they get from that audience to their laughs. They are punching it up. They're making it bigger.
Oh, my God, you've been robbed. This is how it always looks. Oh, my God, totally cute.
And that works and creates a different kind of show, as opposed to Modern Family, which its creator, Steve Levitan, who has sort of worked with both kinds of shows, says he loves single camera for the exact opposite reasons. His actors are not trying to milk every last laugh out of a line. They can allow a joke to sort of sit there and marinate and roll over you and sort of subtly get you. And it creates a different kind of feeling. So I guess it's maybe the difference between going to an Adam Sandler movie and a Woody Allen movie. I think in the end, I think there's room for both.
Joe, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Joe Adalian wrote about laugh tracks for New York Magazine.